You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. It's Mail It In Friday. Brought to you by 1 in 100.
Who wants to have some fun? Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Hour 2 Mailing in Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. The Leafs are not in town this weekend. Then Raptors are not in town this weekend, but we started the show saying, man, you've got two options for great roadies.
Yeah.
Pick your poison, because door A and door B are very enticing. You could make your way to Montreal for the game tomorrow night, and if you're a hockey historian, mm-hmm. if you're only a Leaf fan, and you've never had the ability to catch a Leaf-Hab game Saturday night in Montreal, that's got to be at the top of your bucket list.
For sure.
Got to be at the top of your bucket list. So that is on the table for you tomorrow night. If you are simply a Toronto sports fan and you love the Leafs and you love the Raptors, New York is where it's at this weekend, because we believe Marc Gasol will make his debut tomorrow night.
I think my final decision is New York.
I would go New York as well.
Yeah.
Because
I love Montreal, but to get the back-to-back, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're a Toronto super fan, Raps, Knicks tomorrow night, Maple Leafs, Rangers Sunday night. It's the best of both worlds.
I agree.
You're in New York. It's not like it's Pistons, Red Wings over the weekend. You're not in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, it's New York.
It's New York, and you got to go there and enjoy it, and the restaurants and the atmosphere and everything, but dress warm, because, you know, New York, it's cold everywhere.
It's not that different.
It's cold in Vegas right now.
I know. It's kind of a bit of a troll job, this is a troll job.
Excuse me?
Trolling on people that aren't going to be in Vegas.
I mean, we get no pool time next week?
No, the pools are shut down.
No. The pools are...
Pool parties are... They shut down for like 3 months.
Yeah, I'm looking at the forecast for next Wednesday. Cloudy and 13. A high of 13. Thursday, sunny and a high of 13. Friday, 16.
Better than nothing.
Maybe there's a Top Golf moment in there somewhere.
We were talking about that. Maybe Friday afternoon. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I'm telling you, I have it on the app as well, the Weather Network app or whatever. It was minus weather in Vegas last night. Minus. Like, feels like minus 3 or whatever in Vegas.
Gary Lawless would feel right at home.
Yeah, it's like minus 35 in Winnipeg.
Are we reaching out to Gary Lawless?
I don't know.
He may not make the list.
Gary may be a little bit afraid to talk to us because his boy Patrick Laine is in
the
biggest slump of his career.
No kidding.
Was he doing anything last night? No, I don't think so.
Quiet.
None of the Jets really did anything last night.
I mean, Paul Maurice had, I thought, a brilliant quote after the game.
A lot of quotes last night. How about Sam Reinhardt?
And
of course he tried to pretend like it was a misinterpretation today. I don't know if you caught the circle back.
I didn't see the circle back, but even Phil Housley, I thought, doubled down on the Ross.
Yes.
That's a shot at the GM.
Oh, absolutely.
Like there, and our buddy Brucey in Minnesota was...
All right, let's take these one at a time for people that aren't aware of
it.
Okay, so the Sabres lost in overtime to Carolina last night. That's a big game.
6-5, it was a good game.
Those two teams, they're fighting for position, right?
Exactly.
That second wild card, they're in pursuit of it. And the Sabres have been giving up a million goals, like a million. Their goaltending has not been good recently.
Yep.
Makes it almost as if they're pining for Robin Leonard to return. I never thought I would see that.
Yeah.
But Sam Reinhardt came out last night. Do you have the quote from Reinhardt? Okay, let's hear what Reinhardt had to say about his own play and the goaltending and the team in Buffalo.
Couple of too many mistakes. I mean, we can't expect to win hockey games 6-7, of course. 6-5, 7-6. And we need more from our goalies, and we need it from the start of hockey games. It's frustrating.
It's pretty cut and dry. We need more from our goalies. Now, today he came back and said, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
What I meant was, of course, he's going to do that. Because there's an unwritten rule in hockey.
Well,
the psychology of the goaltender is not one that you mess with.
I like the honesty, but it's like, what are you doing lately?
Exactly.
Let's check out the 10-game span of his production. If you're lighting it up... I still don't think you say that. You have a closed-door meeting and say, you and Nett, you got to play better.
You need to save.
Yeah, does that happen to goalies? Like, I've just always assumed goalies are you kind of
you go around the room and like they, especially if the head coach is delivering.
Leaders will always start with themselves. They'll be like, you know what, I got to be better. Right. But you know what, you got to be better too, Noodles.
Yeah.
Oh, dog, you got to be better. Blah blah blah. But they usually start with themselves.
You're right, and the speech is that you take a look in the mirror, but you go around the room and you do what you do best. That's, I don't know how many times I've heard that. Like, you know, if you're a grinder, you better be grinding. I know the game has changed. If you're a fighter, you were supposed to fight. If you're a goal scorer, you got to score goals. And if you're a goalie, stop the puck. I don't know how many times I've heard that in a meeting. Like, goalies, we just need to save. Stop the puck.
It's so simple.
Yeah. But, I mean, coaches will say that. Remember Torts in the playoffs? Wasn't that Mike Smith? He's like, I just need a save. He swore. A GD save, but that's what he said.
Well, how about Randy, when he just said Reimer was okay, just okay? It was the biggest news story in the history of the city.
They lost 3-2, and James Reimer was just okay. That one still frustrates me.
That was ridiculous. Yeah, the reaction was ridiculous.
The reaction, not the play.
Oh, yeah. Reimer's reaction was, remember his reaction? He's like, oh, what did he say? Oh, okay. I'm
like, yeah, he was
James,
sour.
He said you were okay. Yeah. He didn't say that you were a piece of crap.
Right, that you should be sent down to the minors.
His reaction, like, he was so...
He was not happy.
No. But then, what'd he say? Oh, okay.
That was when they fell off the cliff,
that was
right?
The beginning of the end.
Yeah, they were. Right. That's when, with 15 games left, that was the 15th last game of the year. I'll never forget this. They were 9 points into the playoffs. They missed by 9 points. 18-point swing in 15 games.
You know what it is, because I haven't been here that long? That's a blur for me.
Yeah, we were working.
Well, yeah, he probably would have been frothing at the mouth every day.
How did we live through that? Like, what were we doing every day?
Panicking? Yelling?
Yelling and screaming.
Yes. Putting on weight? Join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. Do you remember all the Leaf meltdowns? There's been a lot of them in the past decade.
Yeah, I would say the one that I remember the most clearly was the Randy Carlyle to Peter Horacek reign.
Yeah,
that was gross. They just quit. They quit.
They were like, this is dumb. I'm not even trying anymore. I'm not going to get hurt. They had 10 guys on the roster that knew they weren't going to be back. They had a I remember when Peter Horacek took over. And so it's a crappy spot for him, right? He takes over. He knows that, you know, he's just there to run out the string. And I'll never forget the first morning skate. He was talking to Phil Kessel. They were doing the power play, and he was showing Kessel some stuff on the half wall. And his look was like, you're seriously kidding me here, right?
Who, Kessel's?
Kessel. Like, seriously, right? Like, look at our team. Just like...
Wow.
I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's like, go away. Just let's get to the game, play the game, and move it along.
Yeah.
That's the one I remember the most.
Yeah, that one was drawn out pain.
See, I don't remember the 15 in and or 9 in and 9 out. Like who was coaching that? Was that Ron Wilson?
No, that was Randy. I believe that was the year after they went to the playoffs. So when they were in the playoffs in 13, I believe this was the 13-14 season.
Okay.
So they were, remember, that was when they had just picked up Jonathan Bernier.
Yeah.
And, maybe I've got this mistaken.
It's all a mess.
It's all a blur.
It goes together.
It was when Bernier pulled the shoot on the game in L.A. Remember, he got injured and he left, and then Reimer went in and saved the season.
Yes.
And then on the way back, I believe, from that trip, that's when they went to Detroit.
Right.
And that's when Reimer was okay, just okay.
Yeah.
And then people were like, uh-oh, here we go. Reimer's going to struggle, even though he's the guy he's got to play because Bernier is not playing.
Yeah.
And then we all know how it played out.
Yeah. But see, what's funny about that, it wasn't even a terrible comment, but all of a sudden it blew up. How about when the goalie absolutely stinks and the coach comes out and says, yeah, we didn't play well in front of him. And you're like, seriously, did you watch? He played dodgeball today. Like, there are times they've got to fluff the goalies up so much that, because you can't have a guy in there that's got no confidence, then you don't have a chance. I remember times like the coach would talk, and it was in the paper back then, but they'd talk about our goalie in the paper, and saying, oh, I thought he was fine tonight. And we'd be like, is he serious? He was awful. Like, did he watch the same game?
Well, and the best part of that is you guys are on the bench when the coach is like, he's brutal tonight.
Wake up. Tell like that guy to wake up back there.
How the hell did that go in?
But then with the media, it's like, I thought he was great. The rest of the team was terrible. Yeah. It's like, I was on the bench. I know you're lying.
When Coley Campbell was coaching us with the Rangers, when he'd get really angry, he'd stand against the glass and he'd slam his foot into the glass partition where the crowd was. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like he'd be standing, and so he'd slam his foot backwards, and you know somebody'd make a mistake, and he'd hit the boards behind him. A crappy goal would go in, boom, he'd hit the boards behind him. Sometimes it sounded like a drum back there, like he, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, I love it. I only know one story, and I can probably tell it. It's not a big deal because I wasn't on the team, but. Terry Crisp apparently was very, very sharp-tongued behind the bench and wasn't shy to... He would say things out loud so that the players could hear him, but he would pretend like he was talking to the assistant coach. And he had a night where they had a guy who got called up from the minors, and he allowed like three goals on his first three shots, and he leans over to Wayne Cashman, I believe, with his assistant coach. He's like, Cash, I think they sent us the wrong guy. They sent us a forward to play in net. And the whole bench is trying to keep it together.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always had these sarcastic comments. And you know, most coaches, nowadays, guys put their card over their mouth because
they don't want the camera to pick it up.
The camera to pick it up.
Yeah.
I think that's the most gutless thing if the head coach, like, puts the card over and he's like, oh, man. O'Neill sucks tonight. Like, what are we going to do? Like, you can't do it.
Yeah, but they have to do it in today's game.
Oh, of course you can hear it. You can hear everything the coach says. Like, if he's like, oh, man, what are we going to do with Hayes tonight? He can't skate. Like, he's brutal.
They'll say it just loud enough so you can hear it.
Yeah.
But he's pretending like he's talking to the assistant coach.
Has the coach ever said, man, I knew I should have made him a healthy scratch? Like, is that going too far?
That might have been.
I knew it. I was this close, and I didn't do it.
I remember a game I was doing in Detroit, and Babcock was coaching the Red Wings, and Todd McClellan was his assistant. I'm almost certain it was Todd McClellan. It might have been Brad McCrimmon. But he goes to his assistant coach. Thomas Holmstrom carries the puck through the middle of the ice, and loses it. And he's playing on a line with Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg. And so Babs comes down the bench, and he says to the assistant, what the hell is he carrying the puck for? And the assistant goes, I don't know. Like, what are you asking me for? Wait till he gets back here in 10 seconds and ask him. Because there's Holmstrom chopping the thing up into little pieces, and he's got these elegant Datsyuk and Zetterberg with him. You're like, April, know your lane, right? But
no,
always
kidding.
Funny.
Well, and I'm looking over this because we're going down memory lane, and these are all nightmare seasons. People are tweeting in, they're like, guys, the Leafs are good now. Can we stop with this?
Exactly.
I get it. But that meltdown, it was in 2013-2014 where they were 9 points in with 15 games left and they missed by 9 points. They picked 8 that year and they took William Nylander.
And there you go.
The next year when they were in a playoff spot and they fired Rantanen and dropped and Horacek came in, they picked 4th.
And Mitch Marner. So there you go.
You know, this is why, in a weird way, going through all that, even though during the timeline when you were living it day in day out,
the pain
it was just mortifying. This is the payoff that Nylander and Marner, and eventually they saw the light. And they're like, we got to do one more really bad year where we pick up Auston Matthews.
The dignified tank.
Now we're into February in 2019, and they're in a playoff spot, Ray.
Well, on reverse of that, right before I got to the Islanders, they made a trade, and it seemed at the time that it was pretty insignificant. They picked up Mark Fitzpatrick and Hubie McDonough from Chicago, I believe. And they went on this crazy run. And they ended up passing Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh drafted 5th at the end of that year. They got Jaromir Jagr. The Islanders draft 6th and got Scott Sisson.
Nice trade-off. That was worth a great run.
So much. You can have a great plan and all that, but they made that trade. I'm sure they didn't think they were going to go. They went something crazy, guys, like 25-4-2 or something crazy like that to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then you got Scott Sissons, not Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah. Really brilliant move, guys. It all worked out so well for you.
I played with Scott a few seasons in the minors. Terrific person. I think he's a golf pro in like Saskatoon now.
Really?
Yeah, nice. His nickname was the head detective. He had a huge head.
The head detective.
That was that character, I think, in Living Color. The head to Damon Wayans with just a head and two shoes.
Oh, yeah, that was outstanding.
That was SZA.
We had a guy. Do you remember Paul Lawless?
Yes.
One of the funniest players I've ever played with, ever been around. He had a big bucket, too. One year for the gay Christmas gift, somebody took the puck bucket, and we were in Hartford, and they taped it green and made it his helmet. They put number 28 on the back and wrapped it.
I love that
ruthless stuff. It should still be happening these days. I hope it still is. I hope people still have enough of a sense of humor to get through that.
Yeah.
You just can't post it online, or then people will say, oh, you're bullying or whatever.
Yeah.
But Leafs Habs tomorrow night. You know, this is, we were saying this earlier, Ray, a scheduling dream, because you never know how the computer's going to pump it out. But much like in the NFL, where when you come down the stretch in the NFL, you're playing against your divisional rivals, and hopefully they're very meaningful games. The Leafs played the Habs opening night. Leafs won in overtime. Matthews scores an OT. Montreal was the better team, but nonetheless, the Leafs get 2 points. They haven't seen each other since then. And they play tomorrow night. They got 3 games in the final 28 or 29 games. And they're both in the race. Montreal's only a point behind. I mean, this is going to be a great stretch run where the Leafs see the Habs 3 more times. And I think we're all aware, we talk about Toronto every day, but because they haven't played Montreal in a while, and Montreal hasn't had a dramatic season. They've just been good. But nothing crazy has happened.
Consistent.
There's no soap opera or anything. They're just consistent, and they win, and they won big last night. We haven't really talked that much about Montreal. How do you feel about the Habs? How good do you think Montreal really is?
Very different than the team that played that opening night game. No Shea Weber back then. That was Jesperi Kotkaniemi's first NHL game. Kotkaniemi has had a terrific rookie season and has taken huge strides in the last month. Like, he's a dangerous player. He can really shoot the puck. He's smart. It's hard to believe he's just an 18-year-old kid, but he's a good player. Shea Weber, of course, adds an incredible amount to Montreal. He plays 25, 26 minutes a night. He plays on their top pair. The biggest surprise to me, guys, has been how fast Montreal has become in a short period of time. Last year, Marc Bergevin, the general manager, said attitude is a big part of our problem. That will change. And he made a couple of big moves in the offseason. He traded Galchenyuk and he traded Pacioretty. Max Domi has been terrific for them. Drouin has played a style the last month or so that makes you think, oh, that's the player they were really hoping to get. Brendan Gallagher's had a terrific year. You know who's a really good player? Phil Deneau. Like, they're fast. And so I don't think people quite understand that Montreal can be a really good team yet. I think a lot of us have had them as an afterthought. But go back to the start of the new year, Carey Price's numbers have been lights out. Like, amazing numbers. And so he's back to his form. Shea Weber's back. The offense is fast and quick. They've got Drouin and Gallagher, and Thomas Tatar's been a terrific pickup for them. They're a much different team. It'll be a good test for Toronto.
How would you compare them with, you know, the conventional wisdom, the top-end teams in this division? Even putting Tampa aside, you know, Toronto and Boston, everyone's had it for a while. It's going to be Tampa, Toronto, Boston, and Montreal fight for a playoff spot. Have the Habs impressed you enough to put them in the same category as Toronto and Boston?
I think if I were to rank them, I think I would still put Montreal third,
yeah,
but not by very much. I think Boston's got a hole up front that they have to address. Montreal's defense, to me, seems like it could be a little bit suspect. I think Toronto's the best of those three teams. But it's not a huge gap. If you would have told me at the start of the year, I would have had Montreal considerably back of Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, I saw
that. I didn't see this coming.
I don't know if somebody put this link together. I don't know if you read that, Ray, that, you know, Bergevin's been doing the rounds following Anaheim. And Cam Fowler's name, he's a guy that he's really coveted. Like, that would be, I mean, I don't even know what it would take for Montreal to get Fowler out of Anaheim. But that's probably the guy that, in a perfect world wish list, that would upgrade the back end for Montreal on that left side, and that way you could push Victor Mete down. But they are a surprise team. I don't personally have them at the Leafs level yet, but I think they can give them all they can handle as far as how hard they work. That's a hard working team, and they're fast too.
Right.
So the Leafs can't sleep on them.
Well, and they did that opening night. You know,
yeah.
They did. They were working hard. They had a lot of possession that night.
Yeah.
You know, the Leafs.
If there was a playoff series, the people in Toronto would hate Brendan Gallagher by the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you saw the goal the other night. It was like a 2-on-1. And, Drouin held onto the puck, and he beat the goaltender up over the glove. Gallagher was driving the net so hard, he ran into the goalie after it went in. It's like he didn't even, like, the guy is he's a Tasmanian devil. Like, you would hate him to watch him from a Toronto standpoint. And then once the series was over and breathed a bit, you go, man, we could use a guy like that. Like, he would be the type of guy in a playoff series that people would just despise.
Yeah.
And he's got 22 goals.
Right. Well, the Leafs have Kadri, who I guess can play that. I mean, not the same type of role, but outside of Kadri, who do the Leafs have that you really would hate?
No one.
Well, Hyman. Hyman's a pain in the ass to play against. He's, you know, I know Hyman's got 10 goals. Like, to me, I think Hyman's a 15 goal scorer, maybe a little bit more depending on who he plays with, but he is a pain in the ass to play against. And I think Johnsson is a guy who's developing that. I don't know if you would agree with this, Ray, but Johnsson, he reminds me of a guy like a player like Babs had in Detroit. There was a lot of those Swedish players that played in the gray area, kind of dirty reverse hits, hooking, holding all the time, picks. That's how Detroit played. They were the cleanest, dirty team I ever played against. They never got penalized, but they were always hooking and holding and accidentally on purpose, this and that. To me, Johnsson has a little bit of that, but he's got the skill to, you know, he's got upside with skill.
There always seems to be a little mess around Johnsson.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that about him a lot. I like that he'll play fast. I like that he's a little bit chippy. I like that he's always seems to have somebody not very happy with him, the way that he goes about his business. It's hard to believe that's a seventh round pick. You know, like that's found money for Toronto.
Yeah, it's a good find. Frank Saravelli reporting that the Leafs have at least kicked some tires on Luke Glendening, who was a Babcock favorite in Detroit. Glendening's got 2 years left this year and next at $1.8 million. So based on that, unless a contract is going back, I would think Detroit would have to eat some of the money. But how would you feel about Glendening as a Maple Leaf?
No, I've known Luke Glendening for quite a while. He played in the minors with Landon in Grand Rapids when they won the Calder Cup. He was a walk-on at the University of Michigan. A couple of years later, he was their captain. He's a gritty, hard penalty killer. I think he's probably got about 7 or 8 goals this year. He doesn't have great hands. He's not going to make a lot of great plays, but he would give them an upgrade in their fourth line center spot. He can play the wing. He's an outstanding penalty killer. I can see why that Babs would want him a lot. He liked him a lot. He's a good guy. However, how do you make 1.8 fit? I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit doesn't want a third-round draft pick. They've got enough draft picks. They're at the point now, they want some players that are in that 21-2-3 range that can start to play. Like, they already have, it's great to have 30 draft picks, which they will, this year is the third year of them, and so they will have 30 draft picks in 3 years. That's great. You got to wait for them all. They need guys to play now or next year. Who does Toronto have to offer up like that?
Well, I mean, we were saying Connor Brown, maybe, if they're willing to take that money. You know, that's going the opposite way. But
the GOAT?
The GOAT would be able to step in and play right now. I don't know. That's what makes it complicated. You know, unless there's someone in the minors, you know. Would you trade Trevor Moore for 2 years of Glendening? Is Moore a guy that Detroit would want? I don't know.
I would say, looking at Detroit's roster, and I just did a game there, you know, the last Toronto game there, and I did one the last game before the break in Edmonton. They're fast. They've got guys like Trevor Moore, for example. What they need is they need finishers. They need guys that can score. Now, you're not going to find them in a trade for Luke Glendening.
No, you're not.
You know, so I don't know what the... I guess what I'm saying is I don't know what the equitable payback would be. I don't know how you would put that together. But I totally see why Toronto and Babcock would value Luke Glendening a lot.
Leafs Habs tomorrow night. Leafs Rangers Sunday night. Then they're on the road. Arizona, Vegas, Colorado. Big roadie coming up here for the Leafs. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it Monday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I'll be in Colorado for that game. So once they... That's going to be a tough turnaround, guys. They'll play the two games on the weekend, and then you got to fly to Colorado, where it's always hard to play anyway because you can't breathe. And that's going to be a day and a half later. So that'll be an interesting start to that part of the trip.
Yep, we'll tee it up Monday.
Have a good weekend, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota RAV4 the safest SUV? See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0% at MapleToyota.com. Marc Gasol, we believe he'll be in the building tomorrow night in New York. We think he'll make his debut. The owner of the Grizzlies, with a pretty significant mic drop on the way out, pumping his tires in a way that you don't really see or hear too often. We'll tell you about that next. Future headlines later in the afternoon. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, will join us. We'll get back into the Raptors and Marc Gasol in just a moment. A little Rolling Stones on a Friday afternoon. I've seen on Twitter and on Instagram that, like, the Rolling Stone logos are up around the city. There's one down at the Eaton Center, like the tongue and the lips. Man. So people are kind of buzzing, like, what's going on? Because there's a date on it, too. I think it's, like, June 29th or something like that.
Really?
So I don't know what's up with the
album,
Stones, but that's what I'm thinking.
Another book from Keith Richards?
Maybe. Who knows? Have you read Keith Richards' book?
Yeah.
It's an outstanding book. But it's, like, 700 pages.
The special on... isn't there a Netflix special, or there's a movie about him, too?
Oh, really?
Yeah, documentary. That is something else.
Oh, maybe I have seen that, actually. Yeah. It is on Netflix, I think.
He's awesome.
Because he lives in, like, Connecticut or something like that.
I'll tell you what, Netflix is doing pretty well lately. Like, there are a lot of their shows on there. I'm watching that Fire right now, that Fire Island.
The festival?
Yeah, that thing is... That guy's such a loser.
See, I haven't seen it, so I don't know all the details, but, like, my understanding is they sold all these tickets, but there was no festival, right?
He claims he bought...
Models and...
Yeah, like, he bought Pablo Escobar's, like, private island or whatever, and the premise of it seemed really cool. Like, a bunch of rich people flying in their private jets, and he's going to have these tents, and it's supposed to be a luxury. Got models, everything, this beautiful island, and they were going to have... I think Ja Rule is his partner. They were going to have, like,
Ja Rule.
Yeah. And they were going to have, like, all these bands fly in and do it. And then the weather was a disaster, and it was never planned properly. And they were supposed to have lavish meals, and they got, like, a ham. And apparently one tweet crushed the whole weekend. It was like this model is like, this is my lavish dinner. It was two pieces of cheese on a bread, on a piece of bread. And it, like... sunk, and then they figured out this guy embezzled a bunch of money, and he's just a dope. I don't know if he's...
So it was like a Ponzi scheme, kind of?
I think they were living high on the hog with other people's money.
Yeah, so that sounds about right.
Something about that.
The Ponzi scheme.
This guy's a loser, though. You should watch it. It's actually a pretty
interesting stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah, lots.
I'm not a music festival guy.
But it's not even about that. It's more the story of this guy being... a hero. He thought he was a hero, and
right,
he
thought,
you see people
watch
these
this.
Days like 20 somethings. Their whole summers are dedicated to music. It's like,
dude, 20 somethings. Try 30s and 40s. Yeah. Like I have a lot of friends that we know people down at TSN that are in their 30s.
Yes,
that are like full weekends, three nights up at wherever it is.
What's the country one here?
Boots and Hearts.
Now that's a.
Well, it's not that you don't have great music and great bands, and the lineup is really right. Cool. And if you're into it, I guess you're into it. But I couldn't do it. I just, there's no way I'm not, you know, pitching a tent and sleeping on a ground somewhere.
Well, you're basically a pass out face down. That's
right.
What you do.
But it just, no plumbing. The weather's brutal.
There's one in Alberta. That's a country one. I'm drawing a blank on it, but I've been there a few times, and that is a cesspool by the end.
Well, the big ones now are like Coachella and stuff like that,
right.
Where it's crazy the amount of people that show up and the activities that are going on there. It's just
Burning Man. You can do whatever you like. Burning Man. It was, I don't even know what the hell that is. It's like in the desert somewhere.
Mm. I wouldn't go to
No, thank you. Not interested.
It's not for me. Go ahead and do it. Have fun.
And that many people, like Sarstox, speaking of the Stones, when they played it, was that, I think that was like 04 or 06. I'm always getting my years. I was at that.
Wasn't that when Timberlake got hit with a shoe?
Yeah, Timberlake took a shoe right off the head. Well, because, you know, which was so stupid, because it was for the charity for the city to put the city back on the map, because we had been through the SARS epidemic.
Exactly.
And, you know, all these...
like AC/DC and then Timberlake, and they were like, get out of here.
Well, that's what it was, because it was Grit Grinders that were showing up. It was like Rush was playing in AC/DC and the Stones. So it's all these Grit Grinders, and then Timberlake comes out, and he's singing Bringing Sexy Back and doing like a dance routine.
So Mullins took his shoe off and whipped it at him.
Basically, Mullins' uncle said, you're taking a Converse off the head.
It was.
Or, you know, a Vans shoe off the head. So the guy kept going with his act too. I'll
battle
give him credit.
Through,
well, that's the story. I think it was at the Gardens when back in the early '90s, like before the grunge bands really got going.
Yeah,
and there was a tour that went through Toronto and played at the Gardens, and it was like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Smashing Pumpkins. And the Smashing Pumpkins they weren't big and no one knew them. And Billy Corgan's a nerdy guy. Yeah. And remember when he used to wear the same outfit every single time you saw him out in public? Like the shiny silver pants and the black shirt?
Yes, yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And Billy Corgan was playing at the Gardens and someone threw like a shoe off his head and he just had a meltdown.
Well, I guess. You get a shoe off a head, you're not Austin Powers.
Well, like, and how easy would it be to find out who the goon is that threw it?
Yeah.
Like, if you're security, you're like, all right, you have one shoe. You threw a shoe at Billy Corgan.
Somebody... Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Somebody chucked a shoe at George W.
That was in Iran
or
something.
That was somewhere in the Middle East, I believe.
He took off his boot and just wheeled it
and
right out.
And he sidestepped it, too.
Oh, yeah. No, he just
ducked. It was a reporter.
Acted like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
No. But I think I felt like that was like a cultural thing. Like, that's... Maybe I'm completely off track here.
I don't know enough.
But that was like, it's a thing.
For some reason.
That part of the world where, like, you throw shoes at people.
I watched that the other day for some reason. Maybe it was the anniversary of it or something where it was like a reporter threw a shoe at George Bush.
He had enough of him dodging his question.
Who
knows? He threw a shoe. Daniel tweeting and saying, I'm 45 and I hit 6 or 7 concerts a year. I went to Coachella just last year.
See.
Hey, live your life, man. Do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying, me personally, I have no interest.
Jason sent me a note. The Big Valley Jamboree. That is the country one in Alberta. It is Grit Grinder. You want to talk about fist fights and some grit there. People like pull their motorhomes and sleep in tents. Like, not for me.
See, a motorhome would be great because then you got your own spot.
Yeah.
But if you're fighting for property and a tent and you're trying to set up and you're...
Think of all the porta potties lined up.
Oh,
I'm not
by
doing
the
any
Sunday.
Of that. Nothing. No. I have no interest.
No, thank you. So Marc Gasol, as we know, he's a Raptor now. It took a long time. Like that didn't. When did the email officially come over the wire? I think it was after the game. It was like 10 p.m. or something when Masai finally spoke with the media, because it took like 7 hours to process the trade for some reason.
Right.
But he's on his way to New York. I think he might be on a flight right now. And the hope is that he'll make his debut and play against the Knicks tomorrow night. But he was. No, he was a great player for Memphis, and Memphis, they don't have a long, rich history, clearly.
Right.
But the owner came out and said, you know, this guy, his number, number 33, it's going up into the Raptors, like calling a shot on a jersey retirement.
Wow.
Like within hours of trading the guy.
Well, that's the impact. To me, that's amazing. That's the impact he had on that organization.
Right. But, like, did DeMar get that? I don't remember. Did Masai or the owner?
We were more worried about his Instagram post. All of that. We never, like, Masai didn't come out and go, like, this is one of the greatest raps ever. He didn't. He was like, we've acquired. We've done this. And then DeMar had the Instagram, and that's what was trending. Nothing. I don't remember anything amazing said from the organization. I'm sure there was a thank you.
They definitely did, but you're right. A lot probably fell through the cracks because of you know, the perceived animosity, or even the reality of the situation was animosity between the two.
Right.
But you know, Marc Gasol again, like he's three All-Star games, all that, but he was Memphis's DeMar. It's not like he's an all-time great player.
The thing about jersey retirements, I've seen it in Carolina. Like Glenn Wesley was a great player.
Does he have his number retired in Carolina?
Number two, Glenn Wesley, is retired in Carolina.
Wow.
And it's...
But he's an all-timer. Wasn't he Hartford to Carolina? And I guess he was Boston,
too. If you look at the numbers, it's like great kind of gritty veteran, but...
Hall of good. Not
longevity. You're being, you know, because like Marcus, the NBA...
He won a Stanley Cup, and to be honest with you, I look at that, and I'm like, if his jersey's in the rafters, why isn't mine? I'm being serious. It's like
it's true.
The owner or the general manager, they can have, if they, Jim Rutherford, I think he sacrificed 5 first-round picks for this guy.
Yeah, I think it was four or five.
Maybe four or five, but yeah, so he's like, yeah, you're going in the rafters. So, like, honestly, I have a legit argument to say, okay, you won the Stanley Cup, but everything else, well, my number could go right there beside it.
Yeah. Well, and I guess
whoever they want to pick.
It will. And now in Carolina, I would assume Mark Stahl's number 12 will go up there at some point.
Eric? Right?
Or Eric Stahl.
Yeah.
You would have to think Eric Stahl's will go up there at some point.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Justin Williams.
Does Cam Ward go up? Like if Glenn Wesley's up. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't about taking shots at these guys. And Marc Gasol was he's a very good player, but he's not an all-time great player.
No. Right.
And it's like the second.
Glenn Wesley's not an all-time great player for any.
No, he's not even close.
No.
No, he's not on.
But they just decided this guy. We gave up first-round picks for this guy, and
we don't have a rich history too.
Well, I mean, I'm just
counting. Like Memphis is
okay. Well, why isn't my number up there?
I'm just counting.
I don't know. I have a legit argument.
I understand that. I'm not fighting against it. I would think there's probably a counter in Memphis where like Mike Conley's like, okay, well, I'm going up there too, my number. Yeah. And Zach Randolph's probably like, if he's up, I'm going up.
Yeah, at the very least, if you're not going to put my number in the rafters, like, give me some kind of ring of honor.
Well, that's what it is. It's going to be Legends Row. That's what they'll figure it out. I'm just counting. He had 13 seasons with the Whalers and the Hurricanes. I didn't know he had a little cup of coffee here in Toronto.
Yeah,
he did. 7 games.
He was a deadline pickup, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
7 games and then 5 in the playoffs.
Yeah. That was a Pat Quinn pickup, I believe.
Yeah, 2003.
Yeah. But it also, you know, it speaks to how different the history and the heritage of organizations
different
are,
organizations.
Right? Like Carolina and Montreal are pretty different,
yes.
Where Glenn Wesley's number wouldn't be up at the Bell Center.
Not even close.
Or at Scotiabank if he was.
By the way, he's one of my favorite teammates. Nice guy, but it's like...
Yeah. And the same, again, like Gasol is the greatest or one of 2 or 3 greatest players in Memphis Grizzly history.
There you go.
But
it's just not a rich history or deeper history than other organizations.
Yeah, and you're kind of setting yourself up where if it clicks for Memphis, you know.
Well, you're not going to take the guy's name down.
No, I'm not saying you're taking it down. What I'm saying is it sets it up. Let's say Memphis ends up winning like 3 NBA titles in like 6 years at some point.
Right.
The guy who's like third or fourth guy off the bench, like 8th or 9th guy on the rotation, is probably like, I got to be up there now.
Yeah.
You know, like you're setting yourself up. We're like, we're putting up this guy even though we didn't have any success. Like Memphis has had no success.
Right.
And Gasol's been a good player, but it's been relative to their team and their market.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway. Shout out to Marc Gasol.
Yeah, I know. You just tore him down.
No, it's not about tearing him down. It's about the organization. It's like, you know, you just dealt the guy. Yes, he had a great run, but you're already like, oh, that 33's up in the rafters. Like,
but it's also, I think it's a feather in his cap.
You know, is Valanciunas' number going up in the rafters? You know,
I don't think so.
No, of course not. There's no chance.
But why would? You know, like,
it shouldn't.
But Gasol was probably a lot more important to that organization.
And better than Valanciunas and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Valanciunas has been here for like 7 years. The Raptors don't have any history either.
Right.
Anyway, Pierre LeBrun will join us, our hockey insider. He's coming up in the next hour. We're going to catch up with Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN as well, get his take on Gasol's impact now as a Raptor.
Yes.
the Anthony Davis situation. How strange and delicate is that going to be handled down in New Orleans?
How weird is it, too? LeBron must have had to address his team, you think?
They had a big win in Boston.
I know,
last
I saw
night.
That. It was a buzzer beater, but like.
We're playing this audio, by the way. LaVar is now back out, and yeah. He made some comments. What is it? Just Shannon Sharp?
Yeah, he was on with
Shannon.
Sharp. Yeah, now you've thrown me off.
It was Shannon Sterling. It was Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
We got to get these because they're absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll play them. We'll get into them. We'll see what Kevin has to say about it. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Yes, we will be playing some LaVar Ball audio. It's been a long time, man. He's been hibernating. And all he needed was LeBron to put together a package that included Lonzo Ball leaving the Lakers. And now he said, the truce is over, and I'm out of the cave, and I'm going to start barking again.
Yeah.
He's like, LaVar, his son's better than LeBron. It's...
But that's asinine.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Everybody knows it is.
It's actually ridiculous that networks decide to put him on the air. Like, I'm sorry. Your credibility just goes out the window. You want clickbait? Go ahead. But it is flat ridiculous to put this guy on the air.
You realize we just teased that we're going to play a clip
of him.
Yeah,
we're putting him on air.
So what does that say about us? That's why you put him on, because you know what you're going to get. You know, people can say that they hate it or whatever.
But you'll listen watching. To it.
Yeah, I hate to break it to people. It's a business. You get people to watch, get people to listen, get people to read. Clickbait. That's the era we live in.
Yeah.
If you click on it, the company
wins. We're playing
wins.
It because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I guess that's why you do it. You just say it's so ridiculous.
But I'd have him in studio. I know we've had this brawl before. You guys would be against that. I understand it. I would have him in studio.
Yeah, but what you would want is him to talk ridiculous. You're not like if him in studio going, you know what, my son's really learning a lot from
you. Would just start yelling
LeBron.
At him.
You're
He'd like, oh, my son's better than LeBron. You'd be like, why are you saying that? And then he,
of course, and I think people would find it interesting. But Noodles, I know what I'm getting with LeVar Ball.
Right.
Like, I'll give him credit. You know what you're getting.
But you wouldn't you'd be disappointed if he didn't give you something.
True. If he was subdued and laid back,
right.
It would be somewhat disappointing.
But this guy knows that he's a sideshow now. He actually knows he's kind of a laughing stock.
I think I read this. Al, look this up if you can. I think he's got a biographer. Like, I think someone is writing the life story of LeVar Ball.
But he's never done anything.
I understand that.
But actually, that's not true. Did he not play in the NFL or something? Did he not play? Wasn't he a practice squad?
Yeah, he was with, like,
football
the Jets
player
or something
like that. So, I mean, he did have some...
But not, you know, not to the point where you're like, okay, this guy's got a career that I'm interested in.
Right. Like, I wouldn't watch that, the LeVar Ball show.
No kidding. But it's legit, right, Al? You're telling me he has a legitimate biographer that knows the history inside out of LeVar Ball.
Oh.
Okay? So...
Didn't Trump save one of his kids?
Yeah, with UCLA. They got caught in China.
They got pinched in China.
Yeah, they were shoplifting in China like idiots.
Which is
you shouldn't do that anywhere.
I know,
but if you're
it's
in China,
very
watch
serious
yourself.
Over there.
Yeah. All right. Pierre LeBrun coming up. Future headlines in the next hour. Big weekend for the Raptors and for the Maple Leafs. We're teeing it up throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.